everyone, and welcome to All Elite Geekly, the show where we ramble and ramble and ramble, and eventually we talk about AEW Dynamite. I'm your host, I'm Boris, and this week, well, this week is WrestleMania week. This week is a busy week, and with WrestleMania in Philadelphia, my usual co-host, Dax Xavier, is actually covering the show. Well, not WrestleMania itself, but the shows around WrestleMania. He's actually going to be heading to Ring of Honor on Friday for the network. I'm really excited to see what he has to say and the experience that he's going to have with Ring of Honor, especially this incarnation of Ring of Honor, as he very frequently attended the original incarnation of Ring of Honor all of those 20-plus years ago. I did have someone lined up to co-host with me, but unfortunately, they got sick overnight and weren't feeling the best. So, you know what? I think I'm going to do this episode Han style, that solo. You know, like I say, this is a very busy week of pro wrestling, but there's more than just WWE to cover, even though we all know that, you know, this week is so WWE-centric. But, like I said, so much more than WWE. There's still AEW. And later on today, the collective is beginning from GCW. Actually, what's really cool is that if you have Fight TV Plus on Triller TV, you can actually watch the entire collective. And you know, they do have a free first month free membership, so there's that. But here on the network, we're going to be covering a bunch of shows, including the Stardom USA show that's happening this afternoon. We're also going to be covering a bunch of other shows here and there throughout the weekend. So keep it locked in here on Sunday night's main event and over at SlamWrestling.net, because again, this crew over at Slam Wrestling is going to be covering tons of shows, including Bloodsport, Stardom, Ring of Honor, which I'm doing, and so much more. All right, so, man, it's like I say, it's been such a busy week. I've literally done a podcast each day so far this week. Right now, my throat already feels like it's starting to go, and it's not even the beginning of WrestleMania week. This weekend alone, we're doing about 7 hours of shows, including the main flagship show, which might be a little different. I do know it's WrestleMania week, so again, like I mentioned on a few shows, we are bringing the games back this week specifically. Trivia is back. I have two contestants lined up for trivia this week. We're obviously going to be doing news of the week. And then, well, we might do a roundtable. We might do a little something-something for that fourth segment. Still haven't decided what we're going to be doing, but we're going to be getting some trivia rounds, some news, and some probably some WrestleMania Night 1 opinion outside of what we're doing on the after party, because that is right. We have two after parties this weekend. This weekend, after both nights of WrestleMania, we're going to be going live on Facebook, X, and YouTube. And, well, we're going to talk about that night's WrestleMania, and we're also going to be turning things over around to you, the listener, and we're going to be getting your opinion. So remember, the best way to get on the show if you want to is to become part of the family, and that is by going to patreon.com/SNMEradio. Some of the benefits you get are patron exclusive shows, first crack at appearing on the show, whether it be trivia, whether it be feedback, whether it be anything, you get first crack at being part of the show. And then each and every year around the winter time, or closer to the end of the year, there will be a patron gift. All of this for just $5 a month. So patreon.com/SNMEradio. Right now over at our merch store, we do have a merch store. So if that's another way that you can help support the show, and that's by going to chopped-tees.com. Right now, they actually have a huge sale. Everything is already 20% off, and then they have volume sales. And remember, there is free shipping in certain countries, including the U.S. and Canada. So you're going to want to check out that merch store, chopped-tees.com, and you'll under the brands, you'll find SNME Radio. But there are other brands with Chopped Tees, including Poison Rana, including Post Wrestling. So that's chopped-tees.com. All right, so what a week it has been. Like I said, it is WrestleMania week, and the wrestling world right now is focused in Philadelphia. I was even texting with Chris Van Vliet last night, and he's ready. He has such a busy week lined up, weekend lined up in Philadelphia. He touched down yesterday. I know that the Poison Rana crew touched down this morning. It's crazy. I wish I was going, but unfortunately I do have things to do very early on Monday that just the timing didn't work, unfortunately. But yeah, I think I'm going to try to do SummerSlam this year. We will see where that goes. All right, so let's geek out a little bit. I'm not going to spend too much time because, like I said, this is a very busy week. And, well, you know, it's just got to conserve the voice a little bit. And it's always harder to do a show when you're alone. So one of the things I want to talk about was episode number 4 of X-Men 97. What did you think of that show? I haven't actually rewatched it since my original watch. Like, if you remember, I did get the first 6 episodes. I got the first 3 episodes, and then like when the show actually came out a few weeks ago, I actually ended up getting the next 3 episodes. So it's been about a couple weeks since I've watched this episode, and out of the first 6 episodes that I got to say that this is my least favorite episode. I think that you know, the focus was kind of turned around. I know that a lot of people really did like this episode, but trust me, there's a reason why I'm saying that out of the first 6, this is my least favorite one, because the next 2 are going to be epic. I do kind of like seeing what the other X-Men are doing. I kind of like that they're shifting focus a little bit with some of the characters that are being highlighted. But I also kind of feel like, man, back in the day, if this was like a 20-episode season or whatever they used to be, we would be getting so much more. I still kind of feel like this show is a little rushed. But again, at the end of the day, this show is excellent. This show is showing us what X-Men can be, should be. And this is probably the best incarnation of X-Men that I've seen in so freaking long. And I'm loving that. Only if this can translate to the comic books. Because I don't know, the comic books right now, in general, out of like the big comics, like for me, Batman, X-Men, Spider-Man, right now they're some of them are hurting a little bit. I think Batman is doing a good run. Took me a while to get back into Batman, actually, ever since they relaunched everything a few years ago. There was way too much focus on Catwoman and Batman's relationship. Not to say that that's I don't like it, but there was too much of a focus on that. And I found that Bruce was a little too emo for my liking, like an extra level, an extra layer of emo that I didn't like with Bruce Wayne over the past few years. So I've been struggling very much with the Batman comic books as of late, but you know, not as of late, for a while, but lately I have been getting back into it. I am a few months behind, I think, right now with comics in general, but gotta catch up. I honestly need to just take like 2 weeks off and catch up on everything. Something I still haven't even started doing is playing Final Fantasy Rebirth. I know, trust me, it's hurting me, but I've just been so freaking busy. It has been insanely busy, and with WrestleMania week, I just knew that I wouldn't have the opportunity, because when I get into that world, if I play that game anything like I played the first one, Final Fantasy VII Remake, I'm telling you, I'm gonna be lost to the world. So still haven't started Final Fantasy Rebirth. I legit do plan to start that right after WrestleMania weekend. All right, with all that said, let us jump into some AEW Dynamite. And overall, this episode, I'm not sure what I thought about this episode, to be 100% honest. Maybe it's because I was thinking of like a million other things. Maybe it was because I was like, you know, trying to catch up and take notes for the Slam Report, which, remember, slamwrestling.net, reviews, opinions, and so much more. Yeah, this episode is interesting. This episode was a very interesting episode, to say the least. I know AEW has taken a few across the chin this week, starting the week off with that CM Punk interview. Here's the thing about the CM Punk interview. I'll get a little more into this on the main show, but there's 3 sides to every story, you know. And right now, it's, I don't know, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure a lot of people are sick and tired of listening and hearing about all these issues. You know, let's just focus on the wrestling and let's just jump into, you know, remember that. Let's focus on the wrestling. So that's my initial thought on the CM Punk interview on the MMA Hour, right? There's three sides to every story. I'm not saying that he's lying. I'm not saying that he's telling the truth. I'm just saying that there's three sides to every story. You know, I kind of feel like at the same time, you know, Punk has been very consistent in his telling of things. But, you know, at the end of the day, we weren't there. We don't know, right? So that's that. Later on Monday, we had the releases for AEW, right? This is something that Tony Khan adamantly went out of his way to say will not be happening with AEW. They're a family, yada, yada, yada. You know, and here's the thing. It was last week when they got a new COO in. And let's be honest, right? Like, how much, I don't want to say, because at the end of the day, Tony Khan has the final say. But I'm pretty sure that a very valid argument was made to allow certain people go. And that happens, right? But again, people are latching onto the fact. And this is why Tony Khan sometimes needs to take a step back from social media. Because he went on this tirade as WWE was releasing a bunch of people and said that would never happen here in AEW. They're a family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the fact that they do some releases, it's kind of just like, oh, well, there you go. That's just another thing that Tony Khan has changed his mind about, right? Like, there's so many examples from unions to now this with the releases. There's just so many things. This is why Tony Khan, in my opinion, really needs to take a step back from social media, let his company and let the wrestlers and the superstars and the very talented people do all of the talking in the ring. So, you know, like I said, AEW has had a very hard week overall. With WrestleMania week, especially here around the corner, the focus being on WWE. So, what does Tony Khan do to kick off the show? He sends out Adam Copeland with a battle cry. So, your TNT champion, Adam Copeland, is out, and he says he wants to just have fun. But first, he has something to say. He says that over the last few days, there have been a lot of negative BS, but screw that. Copeland says he wants to focus on the positives and says that it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. I concur. He reminds us that wrestling was taken from him, and he says that he realized that AEW was where he needed to end his career. Copeland gives praise to the entire locker room. He says he's been able to have Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, Swerve Strickland, Samoa Joe, Jon Moxley, FTR, the Young Bucks, Malakai Black as opponents in his short stay. Copeland says he is having a blast in AEW, and he says that this is the most fun he's ever had in his 30-plus year career. Copeland then thanks the people who started the company, including Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, and says that AEW has made wrestling fun again. Copeland with the company slogan of "We're the best wrestle," and then he says that AEW is moving forward, and there's a reason why top stars like Okada, Monet, Ospreay signed here. Copeland then introduces Will Ospreay. Ospreay comes out, and the two shake hands, leading us into the first match of the night. See, was this necessary? I know that certain circles, certain fans, this is great, this is awesome. But is this necessary? I don't know. I understand that this battle cry, this, you know, let's be harmonious together is needed sometimes. But in a week where AEW really took a few across the chin, this could have been something done to the back. You know, they could have easily said this without flat out saying this. They could have said this with having a great show from start to end, great matches and everything. You know, it just feels a little heavy to have Adam Copeland come out and do this. And maybe he wanted to do this, and that's fine. But was this really necessary? What about people who just randomly turning on the TV show? They're like, okay, cool. That's great. Right, this was so focused on the internet wrestling community, and you know, let's be honest, with tribalism so heavy right now, and I understand that, you know, we got to try to break down that tribalism, but it's something that won't go away. It's there in any fandom, right? Look at Star Wars, look at comics, Look at even Harry Potter, for Christ's sake. I'm sure even the Harry Potter fandom is toxic sometimes and has tribalism for certain things. Actually, I'm pretty sure they do with all the houses and shit. But I don't know. Was this necessary? I'm not saying this was bad, but I'm just questioning the necessity of this. I don't know. Sure. It was something that they put on air, and it was a choice that was made. All right, let's just jump to the first match of the evening, which is Will Ospreay versus Powerhouse Hobbs. Don Callis was on commentary. This match, you know, Powerhouse Hobbs really showed his strength, and that's what he used against Ospreay. Similar to the next match, Ospreay sends Hobbs to the steel steps. Hobbs comes back, picks Ospreay up, dumps him right on the steps, but Hobbs isn't done yet. He grabs Ospreay again, slams him onto the announce table. A little while after that, Ospreay hits a springboard forearm, a couple chops, and a slap for good measure. Hobbs didn't really like that. He comes back. He smashes Ospreay with a hard belly-to-belly. A little while after that, though, Hobbs goes for a splash. Ospreay moves out of the way, does a cheeky pin for a two count. Hobbs gets control of the match again with a few kicks, but Ospreay is able to hit the Sky Twister press, and he follows that up with a hidden blade for the win. Will Ospreay wins. Don Callis raises Will Ospreay's hand, and Hobbs gets in Ospreay's face, kind of angry and whatnot. But Callis is able to calm the situation down. As Ospreay is walking away, Brian Danielson's music hits. He comes out, and he's doing that sarcastic clap for Ospreay. This leads us straight into the second match of the night, which is Brian Danielson versus Lance Archer. Very similar match to the first one. You have a much bigger guy versus the opponent. And, you know, Lance Archer capitalizes on this. He's kind of tossing Brian Danielson around. Brian Danielson is then able to hit a dragon screw on Lance Archer. This, my friends, is the beginning of the end. As now, Brian Danielson has a major target to focus on. And that's exactly what Brian Danielson done. He focuses on the legs of Archer to slow him down, to get his to bring him down that way. Danielson sits Archer on the ropes and he crotches him. He then hits some running kicks. Danielson gets the lapel lock, but Archer reaches the ropes for the break. Danielson then hits a running knee off the apron, and then Danielson with a kick, but Archer picks him up and he does a huge choke slam. Archer follows that up with a knee strike of his own. Danielson fights back and hits a knee strike, and he hits some more kicks and a second knee strike of this combo, and is able to pick up the win. So there you go. Brian Danielson, Will Ospreay, winners over their respective opponents in the ongoing pissing contest, the ongoing dick measuring contest, the ongoing if he can do it, I can do it better contest that these two are having, which I'm loving. I'm liking this. I'm liking the tit for tat that these two are having, facing the same people, facing similar people, having the same odds stacked against them, as Hobbs and Archer were so much bigger than them. So I'm really liking this, and it continues the road to Dynasty, where we're going to finally figure out who is the best in the world. So yeah, this was really cool. I like this overall segment. I like the first two matches. Very good. All right. Chris Jericho is with Renee Paquette. Hook comes out, and Jericho knows that he has a bad history with tag partners, and he also admits that he has a history of pushing people away. Jericho says that at his level, the rules are different, and then he tells Hook to believe in him as much as he believes in Hook. Hook says he believes in Jericho, and at their match on Collision, he's going to be keeping an eye on him. Jericho says he wouldn't expect anything less. Cut to backstage. Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty are talking, and they say they're going to make a statement by beating Chris Jericho and Hook on AEW Collision. Just remember that AEW Collision airs this Saturday at 11:30 p.m. on in the States, and, well, I guess TSN Plus at 11:30, which that whole TSN Plus deal just pisses me off left, right, and center. So there you go. Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty versus Hook and Chris Jericho happening on Collision. Let's go to the next match. So this was okay. This sets up the match. it's interesting how much booze Chris Jericho is getting. I wonder if this is, you know, because of all the rumors, you know, with stuff. I wonder if this is as people are tired of Chris Jericho. I wonder if people just don't believe Chris Jericho as a face. Yeah, it's very interesting hearing Chris Jericho just get the amount of booze that he wants. And yeah, overall, I don't know. I don't know about this whole Hook storyline. I'm still not hooked. Yeah, I did. All right. Billy Gunn versus Jay. And again, I apologize for my voice. It's just, it's already starting to get a little raspy and I'm still a little tired and all that, but I'm trying to keep things going. All right, Billy Gunn versus Jay White. Billy Gunn gets things started as he attacks Jay White as he comes out. White is able to turn things around. Gunn slams Gunn into the barricade. White tries to make an escape over the barricade, but Gunn follows him through the crowd. He gets him back to the ringside area, and he slams him back into the barricade and sends him hard into the steel steps. Gunn with another clothesline of White over the ropes, but White makes a bit of a comeback. He hits an uppercut and a punch, but that's not it. That's it. Gunn comes with a slam. Then we cut to the back, and the Acclaimed are shown taken out. Back in the ring, the Gunn slams White and hits not one, but two Famousers. Gunn gets a chair, but the Gunns run in to make the save and save their leader of Bullet Club Gold, Jay White. White then hits a low blow, and the ref calls for the match. The Gunns and White attack Gunn, but the Acclaimed come back. They make the save. White runs away. The Acclaimed catch up to him, and everyone is brawling, but Bullet Club Gold eventually do run away. Like the scaredy cat heels that they're supposed to be. So I guess we're really going into the direction of a trios match with all of them. Some type of a tornado match, a no rules type of match possibly. Maybe even a steel cage, right? To keep everyone in the ring. We'll see. Hopefully this doesn't lead into a blood and guts, right? I don't want to see more people thrown into this match. Don't think that this will be a blood and guts. But I do think that at most we will see a steel cage or a street fight tornado type of match. All right. Yeah, this was good. This was fine. This wasn't bad. This wasn't good. This was fine. The Young Bucks are shown arriving backstage. And then we see the best friends prepping. And everyone is prepping for the tag team title tournament match. And then it's time for Willow Nightingale to speak. Renee Paquette is out and she interviews Willow Nightingale. Nightingale says she is feeling mother fluffin' great. Well, mother fluffin' good for you. Willow reflects on her journey to this exact point in time and talks about Chris Statlander. Statlander is right beside her. Nightingale says that she appreciates the fan support and says it's helped her become who she is today. Willow then brings up AEW Dynasty and says she knows that she's going to be the smiling face of TBS when she becomes a TBS champion. Stokely Hathaway says that Willow is something special, but then cue Mercedes Moné coming out. Moné says that she can't wait to see Nightingale face TBS champion Julia Hart at AEW Dynasty because the winner of that match is going to face her at AEW Double or Nothing in May. Boom. There you go. Cool. Again, you know, it's cool seeing a mid-card program with the women, giving the women the time, giving people mic time. Was this the best? No, but people got to practice, right? So this was passable. Setting up Mercedes Moné versus Willow Nightingale in some shape, way, or form, I'm guessing that's the direction that we're going to go in. You know, just because of the history between Willow Nightingale and Mercedes Moné, I really don't see Julia Hart being the one facing Moné. The other possibility is a triple threat, but I do think it'll be Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes Moné at Double or Nothing. This leads us into the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament semifinals as the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, take on the best friends, Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta, with Chuck Taylor and Mama Sue at ringside. So this is a back-and-forth match. this match was fun. This match was actually quite entertaining overall. The Young Bucks get control after a little bit, and they double-team Cassidy and isolate him until they go for an EVP trigger that Cassidy is able to dodge. Cassidy fights back. The Bucks come back and dominate Cassidy some more using a masterful tandem offense that only the Bucks know. The best friends aren't done yet as they come back and hit a TK driver-ish iteration type of move on Matthew Jackson. A bit later on, Matthew super kicks Cassidy and Beretta. Matthew mocks Sue, and he's teasing to kick Sue, but Sue slaps him, allowing Cassidy to hit an orange punch. Beretta with a knee strike, and it's the best friends who hit a strong zero for a two count. Cassidy dives onto Nicholas at ringside. Beretta's ready to put this match away, but Matthew pushes him onto an earlier exposed turnbuckle and rolls him up with a cheeky roll-up for the win, causing the Young Bucks to go forward in this tournament, going to AEW Dynasty to the finals of the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament. There you go. Best friends, Beretta just seems very upset. The best friends are ready to hug it out, but Trent Beretta attacks Orange Cassidy. There you go. This is the payoff that we've been waiting for. I wasn't sure who was going to end up going heel. In the grand scheme of things, it makes sense that it's the best friends and Trent specifically. Orange Cassidy is just too much of a merch mover, I think, to become a heel. I don't know if his character can become a heel, but there you go. Best friends turn on Orange Cassidy. Boom. This leads us into the number one contenders match, Thunder, for the women's title. Thunder Rosa versus Mariah May. Back and forth match overall. Rosa is able to take May down after a little bit, but May comes back, rallies to get the upper hand, and momentum back on her side. The two go back and forth, trading hits until Rosa hits May with a release German suplex. May comes back with a suplex of her own, though. She's got a few hard shots, but Rosa hits her with a backstabber and a slam for the win. So your new number one contender for the AEW Women's Championship is Thunder Rosa. Rosa says that she wants her title shot at Dynasty, and that is where she is going to be facing Toni Storm. There you have it. It's official. Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa at AEW Dynasty on April 21st. We then get the contracts. Before we go on to the main event segment, the women's division has improved so much over the past few months. Toni Storm is, she didn't really do anything here, but the Toni Storm influence with Mariah May was seen. It was really cool. This match was good enough. It's good. I've always been a huge fan of Thunder Rosa. I'm happy to see her in the main event, the women's main event scene. And yeah, we'll see where this goes. I wonder if Thunder Rosa is going to get the W. Makes me wonder. Are they going to split Toni Storm and Mariah May? Is Thunder Rosa going to get the belt she never lost? I'm going to have to think about this one a little bit. So, let's talk about the contract signing. This was an excellent segment to end the show. I absolutely love this. So, let's talk about what happened. AEW World Champion Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland are in the ring. Joe says that Strickland would be facing doom and destruction if he signs that contract. Joe continues on by saying that he will leave Swerve scarred as if he left Diddy's party too late. Absolutely adored that line. Strickland says he has wanted this moment his whole entire life, and then says that the two of them are building a dynasty together in AEW. Oh, love that use of the pay-per-view name on the promo. Swerve says Joe may be a killer, but he is too, and he will show Joe that he is every bit that man as he says he is, and he has the keys to the dynasty, and AEW will become his house. Strickland goes to attack Joe, but Joe comes back, eventually hits him with a chain-wrapped fist. Joe continues to hit Swerve with the chain-wrapped fist as officials try to separate them. Swerve is now bleeding. He gets on the mic and just laughs. He scoffs at him. Swerve says that he loves this shit and says that it's all he is. And he questions Joe if that's all he's got. He's taking the title at Dynasty. Swerve then signs the contract with his blood. Joe has heard enough. He runs back into the ring, slams Swerve through the table, and the show ends with Joe raising the title over his head with a fallen Swerve Strickland. Great, great segment. This match is one match that I'm really, really looking forward to at Dynasty. I think, you know, I know it's not the same at the same level, but I kind of feel like this is, you know, as I was talking about on the WrestleMania preview last night, I think that this is Swerve's moment, that he has to win this match. I don't think he's going to be buried per se. Like, if Cody doesn't win, I think he's buried and done. I don't think that Swerve will be buried if he doesn't win, but, you know, you should hit the iron while it's hot. And right now, the Swerve Strickland iron is hot, so you might as well give him the title. I think Joe's run has been good enough, but right now, Swerve is just one of the hottest acts in wrestling. I don't see why you wouldn't put the belt on him, so, you know, just move it. Just give it to Swerve. Let's see what he can do, even for a few months. So there you have it. That is AEW Dynamite as we head towards AEW Dynasty. Not a bad show. Like I say, it did a lot to set up the show. I honestly think I was busy. I was tired. But that Adam Copeland promo kind of took me away because it's like, okay, cool. Rah, rah. Let's all come together. It was what it was at the end of the day. So that's some AEW. Just remember, we have a very busy next few days here on Sunday night's main event and over at Slam Wrestling. Slam Wrestling is going to be covering the entirety of WrestleMania week. And here on Sunday night's main event, we're going to be getting a few podcasts, including a podcast from Andre and Melball for Stardom USA. We're going to be doing something. I don't know what. Maybe on the main show, something. We're going to be talking about Ring of Honor. And then this weekend, we have a aftercast for NXT Stand and Deliver, where Steve Swift is going to be doing what Steve Swift does, and that's to chat about NXT in the most glorious of ways. And then after each night of WrestleMania on YouTube, X, and Facebook, we are going to be having a live after party with review, analysis, but most importantly, we're going to be turning things around to you, the listener. We're going to be getting your live feedback and opinions and thoughts on each night of WrestleMania. So that is happening on both night one and night two of WrestleMania. Remember to follow us on Facebook, X, or YouTube, SNME Radio, for all of that. All right. Also remember, chopped-tees.com if you want to buy some SNME merch. But you don't just have to buy SNME merch right now. They have a huge sale. Everything is 20% off, and they have volume sales happening. So if you buy two shirts, the price will come down. If you buy three shirts, the price will come down more. That's what we mean by volume sale. You can also buy Poison, Rana, and Post Wrestling merch along with your SNME merch. That's chopped-tees.com. Remember, like I said, we're turning things back to you. Trivia is coming back this weekend on the flagship show. And if you want to be part of trivia, or for the after parties, if you want to get first crack at being part of the show, you need to be part of the SNME family. And the way to do that is by going to patreon.com/SNME Radio, and for $5 a month, you can become part of the SNME family. And again, you know, I appreciate everyone listening. I know things have been turbulent. I know things have been up and down. But over the next few months, we are going to be getting back on track, giving you the shows that you want, giving the patrons what they deserve. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is all about wrestling. We all love wrestling, and we just want to talk and celebrate wrestling. So that's what this weekend is going to be. That's what the next few weeks are going to be. That's what the next few months are going to be here on Sunday night's main event. I don't know why I said that loud even though I'm done talking. So you know what? I am done talking. So again, thank you so much for listening. Huge busy weekend coming up. So leave it locked in here on Sunday night's main event. But most importantly, stay Tranquilo.